There are weekends I love, such as these. Not just because it is the Lord's Day, for that always brings joy to my heart. Not just because I can sing his praises day in and day out. Not just because I have the opportunity to share his story with you all. But because I can do all of that with the confidence that he lives. In the same way, I am very thankful for the guiding hand of God. Today's scripture will come from the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. And as you are finding your places there, I know many of you have been concerned for my father, and we were able to meet yesterday celebrating his 61st birthday. Actually, it doesn't happen until Thursday, but our schedule sort of aligned for that. My brother and his family were able to come together, Liv and myself, and my sister was able to come from all the way from West Virginia with her boyfriend, which is an interesting experience. But we all got together to celebrate a man we thought we would lose so many times and yet defied the odds due to the grace and miracles of God. Whether it be through the prayer and miracles of salvation, the prayers and miracles of modern medicine, or simply the sheer will of God acting upon him. And it is because of his influence that I stand here today amongst a whole host of others. I would not be able to stand here today speaking to all of you if it were not for him, quite literally, but also in a spiritual sense. I am very thankful for the Nazarene Initiative, for the prayer journals coming up. It reminds me of my youth when my dad would get together during the Lent season leading toward Easter, and we would have these booklets we would go through every day. We would get together at 8:30 before we'd all go to bed and go through devotions together as a family and pray. And those were very formative years in my life. And it is those formational years that lead me to today and the passage we have for today. So the passage reads as this. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against him. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though through us we implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, as I had stated earlier, before our musical experiment and praise time, when I first read this passage, I was confused. This is all stuff that I had heard before. Reconciliation, redemption, being Christ's ambassadors. But it is not just in this passage that we find our sole purpose. Because as with all things in Scripture, there is a context in the greater picture and narrative of Christ's redemptive story. From the Genesis creation story to the triumphant return of Revelation, there is a narrative unfolding and we are in the midst of it. And this, like no other, describes our role in that picture. So Christ had come. Christ was a man. He was described as a man, as even a prophet, as even the Messiah by some. And then he died. Many faltered, many lost hope. But then the unexpected took place. He was alive. Jesus was alive and well and proved the scriptures right. The old law of death had been abolished. Life was renewed. Just as we are hoping that the winter will finally leave and we can finally enjoy flowers such as these here on the platform today, out in the natural world, but it is in this that we recognize that transformative power of God. The old has gone, and the new has arrived. The old laws of retribution, that which we thought was fair, eye for an eye, even punishment, was no longer good enough in the eyes of God. Because there is nothing that we could do to give as proper retribution for the sin that we committed against God. The constant denial, the constant revocation, the constant sin that we plague ourselves with on the day to day. It is a new law that God brought. He fulfilled the old with his death, and with his resurrection, he initiated the new law of reconciliation. Now, that's a word that we hear tossed around quite frequently. Reconciliation. Now, often we think of it as forgiveness, as repentance on the other side. But I got to thinking, what on earth does this actually mean? So I went to the dictionary. The primary definition of reconciliation is as follows: to make one consistent with another, or to restore a friendly relationship. So if you have a disagreement with a friend, you don't see eye to eye, say, you have a particular way of doing a project and they have another, and you are having this disagreement, but you go over that, and you restore a friendly relationship with them, That is a form of reconciliation, yes. But recognizing that one way is the correct way and going to be consistent with that other way, as if in a factory setting where you have two production lines making the same product. One makes 10 of this product in an hour. The other one makes only one in an hour. Clearly, there is a discrepancy here. So, you analyze, and you figure out what the one is doing that the other one is not. And you implement that. And it becomes consistent. And it increases your production and your output. In the same way, we see life with God. We falter. We try to do the right thing. But sin just has a way of getting in the way. Sin will creep its vines in our pathways and cause us to trip up. We will falter. We will fall. We will be blinded by the things that obscure the truth. But if we put on our sunglasses, if we clear the pathway of all the vines, if we have a guide to take us on the safe path, then we are consistent with the path of God. The old has gone. The old way of stumbling has gone. The new way of reconciliation has come. So, this reconciliation, it's all well and good when talking about in the sense of discipleship, becoming more like Christ. How is it that we are able to initiate this in those that don't know Christ? Well, we act in accordance with God's will. So we continue our growth and our progression on the path of faith. We continue to align ourselves more with God's vision and will. And we become that example that they so desperately need. But where is the line? There should not be a line of when this is applied and when it is not. For it is written, do all things with all of your heart and mind as if to the Lord and not unto man. More simply, all work you do should be done as if done for God the Father himself. Because would we not want to give God the Father our best? From the very beginning, we gave God the Father our best. And it was recognized. It was recognized by God. And it was recognized by those around. This is most evident in the story of Cain and Abel. The offering of one being the best and first fruits, while the offering of the other fell short as the secondary scraps. God rewarded the good, but he still recognized both offerings. But the one who offered the secondary offering recognized the failing. And instead of trying to reconcile, they acted out and killed their brother. The failing extended to their whole life. So, we see this. We see this reaction. There will be anger. There will be disagreements. There will be disputes between the way of God and the way of the world, the way of prioritizing God and the way of prioritizing the self. But if we do ministry right, then we can be made blameless in the sight of God through the work and blood of Christ. Through our faith, we can be made clean. And just as before, it will be noticed and witnessed by those around us. We are made as this ministry. We are produced by this ministry. Just as I had mentioned in a previous sermon, we can think back to the individuals that shaped our faith. We can look at the individuals that we can point to as bringing us to our point of grace. But can we look forward to seeing who we can influence to bring them forward to their grace? Who do we bring to the altar? What is the form of the old that we bring to the altar, give to God, and pray that He changes the old to new? What do we desire to be reconciled to God? Is it our finances? Is it our work ethic? Is it our families? Is it our friends and co-workers that we work alongside with and find ourselves with on a day-to-day basis? Just as we are Christ's ambassadors in the ministry of reconciliation, we ought to be begging for these opportunities to stretch out our hands in prayer. Stretch out our hands in action to bring about the kingdom on earth. The old has gone, the new has come, and it has come in us. So therefore, as our roles as Christ's ambassadors, we must take this work seriously. We often see individuals on media proclaiming themselves as Christians and yet shunning the very ideas that make us who we are. We see individuals that condemn things that we should be uplifting and uplifting things that we should be condemning. The ministry of reconciliation is not a matter of yes and no. It is a matter of diverting all attention from these distractions on the sole thing of God in our midst. So, reconciliation takes place here. Not here physically, in the sense of this church building, though it may take place here, in our prayers, in our activities. But it takes place here, on our feet. With a simple recognition We are part of the ministry. We have been called to such. From the very beginning of the establishment of the church, we have been called to preach the good news of the Word of God to all nations and to baptize all people in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have been called to reconcile the world and all of its sinful ways to the path of God so that His King may be ready to return. The kingdom is here, and it is ever expanding. So, the recognition of this simply comes to the point. Why and who? That leads us to what we sing here at the close. You see, we are asked many questions as people of God. And many of them, if we are truly people of God, should be simple, simple answers. So, as we proceed to sing, I want you to really consider the words that are being spoken and sung. They are not simply praise. They are not simply prayer. They are an answer to a hungry world by the people that know the fields of harvest. Let's all rise to answer these questions.